Here we are. Here we go. That's right. It is the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker show coming to you live and in person. Let's see how I look. If I can push the camera over there and see. Oh, boy. Wow. I'm going to do the next hour. Joe, I'm going to do the next hour from the pumpkin patch, okay?
Sounds good.
Take it outside. Take it outside, Andrew. We got lots of news to get to. Let's dive again. All right. I heard CBS News. They talk about Joe Biden, first time president's ever walked the picket line. They mentioned that. Did you have that in there? Sherry?
Yes.
Did they mention that on Thursday they're beginning the investigation into the impeachment of Joe Biden? Happen to mention that?
Oh, they forgot
to mention that. Calling the first witness on Thursday, House Oversight Committee beginning to look at the evidence that's being presented. One of the first guys up is a forensic accounting expert. He's got 40 years of experience, and he's basically going to explain how can you move money from China or from the Ukraine? How do you create all these shell corporations? How do you hide $20 million or $1.5 million? How did that all go? So that starts on Thursday. They missed that. But they did want to talk about the fact that Joe Biden did go to the UAW right there in the picket line. He was there for 12 minutes.
It was in Michigan.
Oh, Michigan, yeah.
I've watched a lot of UAW picket lines when I was a senator since 1973, but I tell you what, first time I've ever done it as a president.
I wanted to look up to see if he's ever actually been on a picket line before, but I realized I have a thing called a life, and I just stopped looking. So.
Oh, look. Watching is real simple. I'll be very brief. The fact of the matter is that you guys, UAW, you saved the automobile industry back in 2008 and before.
No, taxpayers.
Made a lot of sacrifices. Gave up a lot, and the companies were in trouble. But now they're doing incredibly well. And guess what? You should be doing incredibly well, too. Stick with it. You deserve the significant raise you need and other benefits.
Let's get it.
We can get back what we lost, okay?
Yeah.
We can say, yeah, it's about time them to step up for us. Thank you.
There you go.
Boy, that was inspiring.
Here's what they want. They want like a 40-some% increase over 3 years. They also want to work 4 days a week and get paid for 5 days a week. They want a 40-hour, but they want to get paid
for 32 hours, but they want to get
32
paid
32 hours, yeah. But they want 40.
Right.
How about that?
And the only reason he went is because Trump's down the other part, also at a picket line, or he's also there too. So Biden shows up. The president doesn't normally go to a picket line because, you know, you're supposed to be the mediator, the guy in between the corporation and the unions. But Joe's so desperate because he knows that the UAW, about 28% of the members or more, voted for Trump in 2016 and liked him again in 2020. Now, the heads of the union spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to support Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton. But the sort of rank and file guys were like, screw that. I don't like her and I don't like him. I like Donald Trump. So he's got to go. So he shows up. He leaves there after 12 minutes, gets on a plane. He flies out. He's coming out to L.A. for a big fundraiser. So that's the news. That's the news that the news wanted you to see. And Biden's people wanted you to see Joe Biden on the picket line. Not the story of the fact that in 2 days they're going to begin this idea of looking into what information is available as they start to subpoena. They're also subpoenaing Hunter Biden. They're going to have him come. They're going to get to the other people as well. They're going to get Hunter Biden's partners in there, and then they're going to begin the process. Is there enough evidence to move forward to then officially begin the hearing to impeach the President of the United States?
Yeah, and when he was attempting to go to the picket line, he slipped and stumbled again on the shorter staircase that they're providing him for Air Force One. He also had on hiking boots or like work boots that seemed to be more structured and maybe not as slippery as his dress shoes.
Yes. So Axios has a piece that's sort of like, oh, look at this. We got a scoop that the president is working with a balance expert. He's working with a like a physical coach, same guy that worked with Obama. And they're working on balance techniques and stuff like that in order to keep him spry and limber. They do all sorts of exercises and stretching and things because, you know, they just want to make sure. Because he slips and falls, you know, God forbid, if he slips and falls and he dies in office, then you have, you know, Harris. So they want to, you know, kind of keep him going and not have him die in office. So that's why he's working. That's why Axios has this big thing about, we don't know why Republicans are making such a big deal about the about his age. And then they go on for like seven pages talking all about his age. So the reason that people are bringing it up is because most people think he's simply too old to serve. It's kind of an old story. I don't know how it moves forward from here, but it wouldn't be that hard to see somebody like that, you know, fall. You know, I remember hearing, this is it Mika? She's on Morning Joe. This is like about a month ago.
I'm just saying, if you are managing a president's schedule and you are managing a president getting on stage and getting off stage and doing getting on planes and getting off planes, and yes, he's 80, you need to be there for him and you need to make a pathway, and you sure as hell better make sure he doesn't fall on a sandbag. And I blame the staff for that. I mean, these are the things that are going to hurt him. These are things that are going to be played on a loop. Okay? Let him do his job. Let him do his speeches. Let him work on policy. Let him do his connections in Congress, unlike any president that we've seen. So do a better job, because you can't have these video images of the president tripping or the president like going the wrong way. It's not going to work in this presidency because his age is going to be a factor. His age is going to be a factor, and it's your job to make sure he gets from one place to another. He can handle the presidency. You have to handle his schedule and where he goes.
Well, is she doing this from like a smoky lounge or something with that jazz music in the background?
That's a cut I found, and I couldn't find the one without the music. I said that hurriedly to Joe to put on.
And can you imagine how much worse that would look? What if he really had people assisting him all the time, helping him up the stairs, guiding him off the stage? That wouldn't make him look any better.
No, she's just saying don't have sandbags on the floor.
True,
and the other thing is, if I were him, as grouchy and bully and just, you know, angry as he is and has always been to staff, screaming and yelling at people, and maybe he just doesn't even realize it. Why every time he finishes a speech, it looks like they have spun him around? You know, like we used to play pin the tail on the donkey when we were kids at parties. They put the blindfold on you, spin you around. Then you've got the little donkey. I'm not saying it right. Donkey, whatever.
Donkey.
The little thing. And you're supposed to go up and, like, put it on the, you know, find the – right. They always look like they had spun him around and pulled the thing off, and he's wandering around trying to find something. I would be like, I don't care which way I'm supposed to exit. I'm not going to stand there days waiting for someone to point to me. I'm exiting stage right even. I'm going right off there, right by, bang, down. Not standing there like, what? Where now? Who, huh? What am I? I don't want to get in trouble. Just always go to the right. Just go to the right. Go bang, off to the right. Stumbling around, making it look
bad. My suspicion is that he's told at the beginning of the speech, and it's probably written down, where he should go, in what direction he should go, and he's either oblivious to it, forgets it, or just doesn't care. I think he probably is given those specific instructions, also because he's been embarrassed so many times by just standing there like, huh, anyone, anyone, anyone? You know, so I think they do that, but I just don't think he follows along or cares or forgets.
Do a David, how about that David Copperfield thing where you step back, then the floor opens up and smoke and lights come up, and then you're lowered into the floor. Or you've got these wires that some people can kind of see and not see. Like that guy that you work with, Sherry, when you were filling in for the gal that got a little too heavy and then you became the magician's assistant.
Yeah.
And the guy, didn't he have wires or something like that?
Yeah, they had a wire where they acted like it was some kind of a floating something, but the light went into the theater. They usually did shows at night, but they were trying to make more money, so they started doing shows for kids in the daytime. And you could see the wires, and they were doing this thing where they were trying to like levitate it or whatever, and the kids could see the wires. They were all yelling,
"We can see the wires." We see that there's a wire there. We see
Whoa, that's very concerning. Why were they muzzling the kids with hands in front of their mouth and stuff like that?
Well, that was another trick.
All right, trivia question for anybody. This is a general knowledge pop quiz question about movies, movie trivia, and people getting hurt in a stunt where they are being lowered into the floor and flames shoot up. Can anyone tell me that movie? You're allowed to speak and talk among yourselves.
So were they lowered into the floor because it was a magic trick or because it was part of the scene?
It was part of the scene. I'll help you out. She went on to sell coffee.
Lowered into era of the thing?
It went from black and white to color.
Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, right.
Oh,
good. Joe, 1 point for Joe. Do you remember the scene?
No.
The Wicked Witch of the West is going to disappear, right? Or either that or they poured water on her, and she's supposed to go into the floor, and as it was lowering down, flames came up, and it burned part of her costume, part of her hair. So I'm sorry, I'm not able to give you or Sherry any credit on that one. And Andrew, you control the board.
Did they use that take or a different one?
I'm sorry, I asked the questions, Joe. You don't control the board. Andrew controls the board.
What am I supposed to say?
That's right. Good for you, Andrew. All right, moving on. One other little story, as long as we're piling on the president. He just can't cut a break. Commander, that's the shepherd, the German shepherd that likes to bite
people.
And
now to the White House, and new reports that President Biden's dog, Commander, has bitten multiple Secret Service agents. Rachel Scott is back from the White House with those details. Good morning again, Rachel.
Hey, Lindsay, good morning to you. Look, the White House is still figuring out how exactly to deal with this one. The president's family dog, Commander, has bitten or attacked Secret Service agents at least 10 times over a span of 4 months. One of those incidents ended with one of those officers having to go to the hospital. This is all according to newly obtained emails by a conservative activist group that have been verified by ABC News. And one of those emails back in October, the Secret Service warned that the German...
By the way, let me interrupt you for 1 second there, lady. Why at the a conservative activist group? But why that? Why say conservative activist group, right? If it's something else, you're a liberal activist group? Always make sure, like, so a conservative activist group is out there looking to find out.
Shepard was exhibiting extremely aggressive behavior, even charging at a Secret Service officer, saying that the First Lady could not regain control of the dog. The Secret Service, of course, is not in charge of caring for family pets, but they do come across them while protecting the First Family. The White House sort of brushing this all off, saying that the White House is a stressful and unique environment for family pets. Yeah. But if all of this sounds familiar, it is because it is. You may remember the First Family's other German Shepherd, Major, also had a history of biting people. Major Biden was eventually sent to go live with family friends. It's unclear at this point if Commander also faces a similar fate, but at the very least, the White House says Commander will definitely be getting a lot more training, guys.
More training. A similar fate to go live with a family friend. What was the euphemism? It was always going to live on a farm. A dog has bit 8 people that they know or more. I mean, if you're the Secret Service and the dog's going around biting people and the Dr. Jill Biden couldn't control the dog, the guy can't cut a break. I guess these dogs are trying to get back to LBJ. Did you ever see the famous photo of LBJ used to pick up the beagles by the ears?
Ears, yeah. It was horrible.
You know, and did he spin him around?
I don't know. I don't know. It's too hard. It's just okay. No. They're just terrible. No. But what's the tipping point for a dog biting enough people that you say, okay, something needs to be done? Is it 2 times?
10,
four
apparently.
Times?
10,
6
10,
times? I mean,
one. And by the way, these guys, the Secret Service guys, are all armed and everything, and they're all, I'm sure they know all sorts of karate moves and things. Imagine that dog coming after him. I bet they like. I'd like to take a shot of that dog.
No, I mean, no. Nobody thinks that.
But I think they all think that, Joe.
Why didn't they take care of this sooner? I mean, it's a problem when the dog bites once or twice.
But But a conservative activist group, Sherry, was the one that filed the FOIA request to be able to find out how many, because the press wasn't covering it. The White House wasn't talking about it. They're the ones that have been digging into the thing and found out the emails that went back and forth between how many times somebody's been bitten by it, when they get bitten by it, where the dog is, what kind of training they're going to give the dog. They're not going to do anything. The dog is going to go somewhere else, go off to another place. And it was a big deal. I remember when the Bidens, remember that? Because the press, here's the, you become a president, you're a Democrat, then they do a whole story on like, oh, the family cat or the dog, or here's, oh, first time kids, and they do all the stuff about like, oh, they're coming in there and there's treats here and they're gonna make cookies. They do all those like fluff pieces on the president when they're coming in with the new, oh, here's the new first family pet, right? So they did that big brouhaha. You know, I don't think Trump ever had a dog. Didn't like dogs, right? Didn't want a dog in there.
Trump is not an animal person. Biden also has a cat named Willow.
Okay. Okay. Good, good. Thank you, Sherry. You Google-ater, you, in the middle of Joe and I speaking.
No, no, no. I read that in the article.
Okay. All right. Good. You did your research.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to try to move out there. Andrew, I'm going to try to move out there to the pumpkin patch now before we get into AI girlfriends are ruining men, and then a show where you stand completely nude in a box.
We're going to have a live pumpkin field exclusive.
Yeah, okay, just got to run the extension cords out there. Whole thing, all right?
Okay, as long as
I have every confidence this is going to work.
Not at all. Get ready to host the show by yourself, Sherry. All right. Big problems out here in the country, Sherry. I got too many pumpkins. I don't know what to do with them, so I'm trying to figure that out. Might do something. Take it over to Mike's Tavern and bring like 300 pumpkins over there and dump them off at night.
What's the approximate count at this point?
320.
320. Okay.
You got an average weight?
Joe.
I'm just kidding.
They're big.
Oh, such biggies. A great question. That's ask
yeah,
myself
such
that
a great,
every
thank
day.
You, like, yes. Anyway, I got to figure out what to do with that. I was thinking of it just going to invite a bunch of listeners, come over, we'll have some food and music and some brewskis. And then I thought, I'm not doing that. Anyway, all right, moving on. Sounded like a good idea. And I thought, that could be out of control fast. And
yeah,
people like Joe Mama going around, what do you think this one weighs? Sound Transit is asking its riders, what would be fair? You know, what's fair? I like the fact that they're asking the riders, how much you want to pay? The question comes down to, do you want to pay like you go a short distance and you pay X, and then you pay a little bit more of a longer distance, or you just want to do a flat fee all the way across, $4 or $5? If you ask people, what do they want to pay? I'm sure the answer is, how about nothing? Right. So this is the new question for Sound Transit, what the fare should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a survey that they've put out there. It's going to be looked at in the next few weeks. But the distance, the flat rates are like $3, $3.25, $3.50. And they have to decide whether or not, you know, what makes most sense. Do you really want to pay three bucks if you're only going like a couple of stops? Or is it easier then to just, you know, pay the flat fee so you don't have to figure anything out? You don't have to, they don't have to raise it like 25 cents or 50 cents. So they're considering that though. They're considering an across the board boost of 25 to 50 cents. And, you know, they also want to think about parking fees. The park and rides were sort of emptied out during the pandemic. And now they're saying, you know, we've got more, you know, cars than we need. So we're going to have some priority parking for van pools and for, you know, buses, I guess, and things like that. But everybody else should have to pay. And that would probably be, again, about $4 or $5.
So understanding that when it comes to their budget with Sound Transit, which they actually have a budget, they don't ever quite meet it. 40% of the revenue has to come from fare box collection. 40%. So the total amount of money that they get from your taxes, even though you would never step foot on any public transportation. They're taking your money, state's money, federal money, all that money, and then part of that included is 40% from the fare box. I think they only hit that once, which might have been like in 2017. People get on the thing and ride for free. Why? Because do people do what you inspect or expect? So they used to have fare enforcement people, but of course that's racist. So they got rid of them, and now they have fare ambassadors. You get to wear an ill-fitting sort of blue vest. They give you a hat. And I think last year they had four. And they were on average, I think the last time I checked was like one fare ambassador was checking for every 172,000 riders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you walk around and go, and it's all about education, because it's, that's the main point. It's not about confrontation. It's about educating the riding public on how to pay. I mean, they believe me, people know, oh, I see, you get an Orca card or you pay, you get the thing, you get on. You don't need to educate anybody, but they're really focusing on educating the young riders today because, oh, I wonder why. Excuse me, have you paid? No, I haven't. Oh, maybe you just don't understand how you pay. What a joke. They had four at one point, apparently, like, administrators are supposed to go out as well. I don't know if they go out as well. They are desperately looking for people who want that job to basically be treated like crap by a bunch of people that don't want to pay to ride on the public transportation. So they're hiring right now if you want to get a job.
I did get some updated numbers if you want them.
All right, here we go.
Rachel Cunningham.
Because I asked, what, Joe Mama, I said, call them and find out how many tickets, because they give you two warnings, which is ridiculous. Because, did I give you a warning before? You look really familiar. No, I've never gotten a warning. Oh, okay. Then this is going to be your first warning. Uh-oh. Okay, well, thanks. Okay, so they give you two warnings, and then they give you, then they ding you for like $25 or $75 or something like that, right? So what'd you find out? How many tickets, how much revenue have they generated with this program?
They have issued exactly zero tickets to date, and they won't be issuing any. They're still kind of in the education process, like you described. She didn't know exactly when, but in the coming months, they plan to step it up to where it would actually have to be your fourth or fifth infraction before you got a real ticket.
Yeah. So, and they're investing $672 million over the next 25 years to, I guess, get this Fair Ambassador program ramped up. The other thing that they did was, you know, when they asked people, can you please give me your ID or can I see your fare, you know, your fare card or whatever to see or some proof of having paid for it, 39% of riders didn't show any kind of proof of payment, and 41% wouldn't even show their ID. So compliance is at zero. But pretty much, I mean, just nobody's
they seem to be educated.
Attention. Yeah.
They need to be educated. Right. Listen, you got that job. I don't know what it's paying. They say you work an 8 to a 10 hour shift. You walk around, you educate people, and you're the ambassador to bring communities together. Can you imagine walking up and down that train at like 11 o'clock at night? You know, no one on there has paid. And you're going to be like going up to somebody. Excuse me. Can I see your, can I see that you paid? No. Can I see ID? I need to write you a warning. No, you have no enforcement. They know that. So they just walk on by, or you just don't bother saying anything to them. Just walk up and down the train, walk, because they're not collecting whether or not this person's doing anything. If it's $600 and some million and they keep putting all this money into this stuff, don't spend the money. People say, oh, put turnstiles in. You can't get in. The amount of money they'd have to spend on that, just make it free rather than continuing to pour the money. It's basically free now because so many people are riding for free. Just get rid of the ambassadors. Don't pay anybody. Make it free and then just let that go. Don't have that additional expense of trying to enforce this thing because you're not really enforcing it. Because, again, the whole reason they had a problem with it, because there's all racism in 2020. It's racism for the people to be stopped. Why are you stopping more black young riders than, you know, older Asian riders? Why are you getting those guys, according to other people? Why are you hitting them? You know, why are they stopping? Maybe they didn't have it, so they don't have the money. When I used to, I rode the train once, the R5 out of Bryn Mawr up to Philadelphia, 30th Street Station. The guy would come up, tickets, 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 tickets. He'd little click, 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 click thing. And he'd have like this little leather thing. He'd punch the buttons and then he'd go, ticket. And I'm like, I can't find it. Find it. And then he'd go up, come back. Where is it? I go, I don't have it. Okay, getting off the next stop. And the next stop, he'd come over, stand there, big heavy guys, like, okay, get off. And they'd just walk you over the thing and just dump you off there the next stop. And then, like, now you're stuck, like, six stops away. Now you're not home. Now you're not in 30th Street Station. You don't have any money. You got on the train. They kicked you off. Now you're really screwed. Now you got to walk all the way back. So.
Yeah, I saw that happen actually to like an 11-year-old girl. It was an Amtrak train ride to New York, and she was a little bit like belligerent with the conductor guy or the guy that was, you know, and she couldn't find her ticket. She goes, my family has my ticket. And he says, well, where's your family? Back there. Where back there? I mean, he was tough, you know, and then he yells to the rest of the train, I'm kicking this girl off at the next stop unless her family comes forward with her ticket.
Wow.
And he would have done it. Then they came forward and they said, sorry, we got separated, or there was some hoo-ha-ha or something like that. But I think if she had been a little less surly with him, he maybe wouldn't have taken a hard line, or maybe he never really would have, like, done that. But he wasn't messing around. And they say that now, John, only 7% of the revenue is made up of fares. 7%.
Right. It's lower than it was prior to the lockdown. Because, again, the city sends a signal. Garbage on the street, graffiti on the wall, people laying around smoking drugs. The city is sending a signal that nothing matters. Go ahead, get on that train. And who's going to give you a hard time about it? Just tell the guy to go, what's your name? My name is Joe. Joe what? Joe Mama, right? Or the other one is, what's your name? Jack. Jack what? Jack Rabbit. Try to catch me. And then just start running around the train. Not saying I didn't do that one time. Not in the train, but just running away from a police officer once.
What were what would have been the charge?
Drinking, underage drinking.
Oh, okay.
Guy caught me, though.
Did he?
Yeah, kicked my ankle out from behind me and then jumped on my back and said, don't mess with me. I was in Nam.
Oh.
Jack Rabbit.
Jack Rabbit.
All right. Okay. I thought it was a funny line. I think it was laughing so hard I couldn't get enough wind to keep running. All right, there's Nate, the Beacon Plumbing Traffic.
She thought it was funny.
Here we are. Sherry's always finding stories about how to save a marriage.
Is that a little transparent?
Let me know when we're back on.
Yeah. I think we may be back now. I'm not sure.
Andrew, you all right there? It's the Scandinavian sleep method. This is going to save marriages. Here we go.
My husband and I love Copenhagen. We've been a bunch of times, and every time we go, I say, when I get home, I'm going to give our house a Copenhagen-inspired makeover.
Is she in bed right now? Sounds like she's...
I'm
going to
do this. I'm going to guess what? When we're getting home, I'm going to do a Copenhagen makeover. Is that all right with you?
And every time we go, I say, when I get home, I'm going to give our house a Copenhagen-inspired makeover, and then life gets busy, and I don't do it. But this time, we are doing it. This will be a series, and we're starting in the bedroom. And the most exciting part is we're going to be doing the Scandinavian sleep method. So in Copenhagen, not once have I slept with one duvet. It is always two twins, and we sleep so good. Like, no one's fighting over blankets. Nobody's too hot or too cold. It's absolutely amazing. I did a yellow duvet cover for that color blocking. I need to get yellow pillowcases. They did not come in the size I needed, so I will order those. But this is just absolutely the comfiest way to sleep. I 10 out of 10 recommend it. It could save marriages. Bye.
And when I wake up, I'll tell you more about it. Yeah. Yes. So the idea is that you don't share blankets, because blankets can become a problem. You may be too cold. She may be too hot. It's somebody's kicking them. Somebody's pulling on them. So you make the bed up like two twin beds. Well, you actually put the one, fitted sheet on the other sheet, and then everybody gets their own blanket.
Whoa. She said there were two twin beds. They pushed them together.
Well, a king size bed is two twin beds usually. So,
yeah, but there's nothing in the middle. There's no crack in the middle. It's a big king size bed. And then you have to put two blankets on. I mean, Sherry, is there anything you need to tell us? Because, I mean, I the amount of blankets and pillowcases and duvet covers, really?
No. I mean, I have a blanket on my bed in the summer because Trevor likes it so cold. I mean, it's freezing cold, and we have a ceiling fan, and that's going. So I get freezing cold. And so I always have my own little blanket. So. Uh-huh. It's not really a problem for me, but I just didn't know. Apparently, this is an issue with a lot of people in terms of stealing covers and just not having the Copenhagen makeover that they want.
I imagine you have like really, really cold feet too.
Well, no. Remember, I wear my socks to bed, which you're not supposed to do.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I love that song. That's right. I was going to say something, but I thought, that's not worth bringing it up again. All the trouble we got into last time.
No, yeah, okay. I agree. You don't have to say anything more. Okay.
Oh, time has passed. Go away, coyote.
Go away.
Time has passed, but not that much time.
That's something we laugh about, you know, at the retirement party.
A little scandal.
You know, come on. You've only been here for 4 days, right?
Hee-haw. Right.
There we go. It's all right, Nathan.
Stay for a fifth.
I'll tell Joe the story
later.
Listeners are like, huh? Aren't you supposed to be broadcasting right now? What about the rest of us?